Good evening, everyone. We're up to Mitzvah Yud Ches, the 18th Mitzvah of the Sefer HaChinuch, which is Mitzvah's Kiddush Bechoros, the Mitzvah to sanctify firstborn animals. Now, the Torah speaks of this Mitzvah in two apparently different voices. One that says, Kadesh li kol bechor peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael, right after we left Egypt, which implies a specific Mitzvah that we have to be a dayim, we have to positively and actively render kedusha to this animal, as if though we have to do something to make it happen. And yet Chazal tell us unequivocally, based on certain other psukim in Sefer Devarim, that the animal is kadosh me'elav, it's kadosh mirechem. It becomes holy from the moment it's born. Mm-hmm. So that is something that happens whether or not we make it kadosh. All right. Now the same can be said of Shabbos. Shabbos is kadosh whether we make kiddush or not, and yet the Torah tells us Zochoras Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho. Yontif needs a Jewish input to make it Yontif. That's why we say Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim. Shabbos does not need our sanctification to be sanctified. That's why when Shabbos and Yontif coincide, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Because Shabbos gets Kedusha by itself, but the Yomim Tovim would not have Kedusha if we didn't determine the Rosh Chodesh. So too, just like Shabbos has Kedusha Memela, plus nonetheless we have to actively Mekadesh it in words, when we daven it, when we make Kiddush, so too, when it comes to Kiddush Bechoros, the Gemara at the end of Arachin and of Chavtes, the Chinuch starts off by telling us, has a machlokes in the Tanoim, im tzorech lekadsho bepeh or not. Okay, the Rambam says that you have to. So mitzvah says, say medel raisa, for the owner of this animal to mekadesh it bepeh, and the Tur paskins like his father, the Rosh, in Simon Shinvov in Yerodea that says, Ein Tzarech. I mean, Mi'yos Tov. You know, the Achronim will say, okay, if you have such an animal. Of course, we have to discuss the difference between whether you live at the time of the Beis HaMikdash or not, or whether you live in Israel or not. So we'll discuss all of these things. The first thing that I would like to talk just philosophically is that this is a Masechta in Kachim called Maseches Bechoros, but by all means, not the first time something like this has shown up. There's another Masechta that sounds just like it in Zeroyim called Bikurim, Maseches Bikurim, which is the Halachos of the First Fruits. And we have a Masechta called Challah, which is the first dough, Reishis Ariso Sechem. We have a Masechta called Truma, Trumos, which is the first grain, Reishis Dagon Cha, right? Bikurim is Reishis Priyad Masacha. We have a lot of Reishis, the first things of many elements within the Torah is given special status. Hevel understood this when he brought Mibachoros Tzona Umechel Behen, but Kayan didn't understand this when he only brought me Priha Adama. He did not bring me Reishis Priha Adama. So this is the philosophy behind the mitzvah, as the Sefer HaChinuch points out, is that the first of things is always something special and is always something important. So you make it holy and you give it back in some way, and you dedicate it or donate it. Okay, we saw, as I mentioned, we have the first shearings of sheep, Reishis Hageiz, that you give to a Kohen. So let me just mention four or five or six of these Reishises. There are even some other mitzvahs of the Torah that have, in deep down, its philosophical standpoint of the mitzvah is indeed the same kind of thing. The mitzvah of Orla is dedicated to assuring that the Ravai mitzvah is worthwhile. Because the first fruit that a tree produces, I want to give it back to God. But you can't give those fruits the first 3 years because they're not worthy yet. You have to let the first 3 years of fruits fall to the ground so that by the time the fourth year rolls around, it's a worthwhile fruit to be able to dedicate to take it to Yerushalayim. That's known as Revai and it is mentioned in Maseches Orla. So also the Minchas Omer, the Sefer HaChinuch says, you want to give the first grain that grows in Israel, which is barley, you want to make a nice offering out of it. And the same is true on Shavuos, where you bring, when wheat starts growing, you want to bring a special offering called the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. And now I've mentioned 8 or 9 such examples where the first one is considered special and goes back to God. Okay, so or God's representative, the Kohen. So the first question that the Chinuch deals with is, when do you give it to a Kohen? So that's a Mishnah, and Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Maseches Bechoros, and the Rambam mentions it in Perek Aleph. And we derive from Bechor Adam. One opinion says that 30 days after the animal is born, you should give it to a Kohen. Makes sense, because you're not allowed to work this animal. I mean, there's not much you can do with a 30-day-old animal. So you might as well give it to the Kohen sooner. A 30-day-old animal is nothing but a burden to you, unless you want to keep it later to get you milk or to work in your field or to pull a yoke. So you might as well give it to a Kohen early on. Let him worry about feeding him. Okay? There is another opinion that says 50 days. And the normative halacha is that if it's a behema daka, which is a goat or a sheep, 30 days. It's a behema gasa, 50 days. Okay, what do you do if you have a firstborn animal in chutz la'aretz? I might as well skip the whole shir and tell you, what do you do today if you own a ranch out west and you've got thousands and thousands of animals? What are you doing with all the bechorim? Right? So I'll tell you, since Pesach is coming up, what do you think is the obvious thing to do?
Give them a mum.
Okay, that is one of the ways out. Give them a mum.
So, right? Like,
you're not supposed to actively give a bechor a mum. So if they come to a mum, you're right. It is pokea the kedusha. But there's a much simpler eitzah. Why did I say you think of Pesach coming up?
You sell it.
Right. You make a partnership with a Gentile, or you sell it to a Gentile, okay? All right? There could be something wrong with selling land in Israel to a Gentile in order to mafkia from Trumas and Maestras and Shvias. Some shittas that it doesn't even help. But everybody agrees that selling an animal in Chutz La'aretz, Shalom Bisman HaMikdash, or having Shutfus, right, the very beginning of Maseches Bechoros, the first Mishnah in Maseches Bechoros, talks about the Ptur of Shutfus. Famous Tosfos in the beginning of Bechoros about the nature of Christianity.
Can't you make a deal with a Kohen of
Bechoros? Why is Tosfos in the beginning of Bechoros interested in Christianity? Because the first Mishnah talks about Shutfus with a Gentile. And in order to obviate the chiyuv of bechor, so the Gemara discusses, there's a mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah. You're not supposed to have shutfus. You're not supposed to have a partnership with an idolater. So how does it help to sell your animal to a Christian if he's an idolater? So comes Tosfos to say, this is the famous Tosfos, that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah to a Ben Noach. And hence, the Jews who own animals in Europe were able to sell them to Christians. Robert, what was your question?
Couldn't we also make a deal with a Kohen? So the Gemara says
the Gemara was frowned upon making deals with Kohanim, especially in the marketplace. It allowed it for up to 2 weeks, because for a different reason, Robert. But it is mentioned in Maseches Bechoros, to be sure. Which is, and this is one of the gifts to a Kohen. If you're a non-Kohen and you slaughter a cow, you have to give certain parts of that cow to a Kohen. Do you know about that? It's like, you know, he gets truma, he gets reishis hageiz, he gets challah, he also gets the zroa, l'chayayim, the keba. He gets a part of the stomach. He gets a part of the cheek and the tongue. and he gets part of the shoulder, the arm. That's quite a bit of meat, all right? So, but if you have a shutfus with a Kohen, then you're free from giving off those things. So now, don't you understand? Let's say you have a whole big meat market in like in Machane Yehuda, and you have 40 stalls, and they're all selling meat. Someone who is a partner with a Kohen, or a Kohen himself, but all right, I can't help that, he's a Kohen. But someone who has a partnership with a Kohen has an unfair advantage. He slaughters a sheep and has, let's say, 70 pounds of meat, and he doesn't have to give 4 of those pounds to a Kohen. So he can sell, he can undercut the other butchers who have to give meat to a Kohen. You get it? That answers Robbie's question. Okay, so the question of how to get around it today. So Rabbi is inherently correct that a mum that comes to the Bechor is a way out, but there's, as I said, a simpler way out. Okay, once a Bechor is given to a Kohen, he has a mitzvah to eat the meat within 1 year, because listen to it, what it says in the Torah. It says, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana b'shana. You should eat that Bechor before God within the year, each and every year. So the Gemara in Bechor, Stav Chavov, and the Rambam Paskins this way in Perek Aleph, that if no mum fell onto this animal within the year, right? So even Bizman Azeh, if a mum did not fall into this animal, then the Kohen should eat it within the year.
And the Kohen sell it?
The Bechor does not maintain any particular sanctity. Like a Kohen can't sell Truma to anyone else but another Kohen. Right? He can Mekadesh a woman with Truma, because as soon as he says, Harayat Mekadeshesli v'tabazu kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, she's Kinyan Kaspo, and then she can own it. A non-Kohen can own Kohanic foods, let's say he inherits it from his mother's father, who's a Kohen, but he can only sell it to a Kohen, right? Some Kohanic gifts are sanctified, like challah, right? Truma, bikurim, right? Some Kohanic foods are not sanctified, like zroa lechayayim bekeba, right? Some Kohanic foods are tovel. Let me explain what I mean by that. Tovel means until you give this gift, the thing you take it from is very forbidden. Challah is like that. Until you pull off that challah, the rest of the dough is forbidden to Kohanim and non-Kohanim. All right? That's what it means to be tovel, from the Lashon Tevel. Not Tevila, but although it's the same word. But the Lashon Tevel, right? Truma is tovel. Until I pull off the truma and the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni or the Maaser Ani, that grain that it comes from is tevel, very forbidden. But before I remove the Zroa L'Chayayim B'Keba, before I take off the maw and the cheekbone and the shank, the other parts of the animal are permitted. Okay, each Indian has to be analyzed on its own right. Okay, how do you figure, when do we say that, you say that the animal should be given or eaten within the year, when do we count that year? Is it the Hebrew year? Is it a solar year? Right?
So the year from when they received it.
The Turei Evan Paskins that he proves that it's a lunar year, the same date on the calendar, right? Now, we have to, of course, discuss what happens if there is a leap year, okay? And he says it's even the time of day when the animal is born.
Okay? So it's like Me'es La'es or whatever?
Me'es La'es, Sha'ah B'Sha'ah. It's amazing. Okay. right? So that, that's like, just like the eighth day after it's born becomes Hartsa'a, so too this year has an inyan of Ritzui for the Kohen. The Kohen to eat this is like fulfilling a mitzvah, like eating his truma. Okay, so I remind you back to the philosophical notion. The very first thing Hashem told Moshe to tell Paro was B'ni Bechori Yisrael. My Bechor is Israel. And the very first rule that appears in the Torah right after we left Egypt, Mamash, the next pasuk after we left Egypt, it's Kadesh Li Kol Bechor Peter Kol Rechem Bivnei Yisrael. Right? The reading of the holidays begins Kol HaBechor in Dvarim. This element of the Bechora is that there is a, now a, if I may say, a midrashic notion is that our stay in Egypt, it just destroyed our not just our creativity but our ingenuity, whatever brilliance we might have had was manifest in only in building buildings we would never live in, harvesting crops we would never eat, and it just it's ruinous to a nation. So what the Bechor represents is the ability to put our own ingenuity into something that we can create and we can be proud of and we can take exception with. And that became the Mishkan. That's why the Mishkan was supposed to be a place where the Bechor would work. The Bechor could put his energies, his religious energies to work. And it was always supposed to remain that way so that all the tribes of the nation could be represented in this place. Right? But of course, as you know, the Egel sort of changed things from that, and it became a diminution from all people to the Kohen, all places, B'chol makom asher azkir et shmi avo elecha v'erechticha, was supposed to be, to one place now, the Ohel Moed. All right, but we still put our ingenuities into creating this space. It was an amazing project that Hashem gave us in the desert, so we wouldn't obsess perhaps over getting vengeance on those Egyptians. We just put all of our energies into the creativity of this element that was supposed to take advantage of the service of the Bechor. Okay, and that is that's my slight tangent here. The Rambam Paskins.
I have a question about when you give an animal for a sacrifice that has to be eaten. What happens in the case where the shechter is not good or gets a mum? You know, it's already been given. Who's responsible? How does that all play out? Because it can't be eaten.
True, the Malachi in not this week's Haftorah, but next week's Haftorah, berates the people for giving animals that are sickly and not well, and it's not the best ones that people have. It's sort of like what Cain gave instead of Hevel. And the fact is, we can never know until after the animal is shechted whether it's a treifa or not. Most vast majority of animals are not treif, and we can look at some signs on the outside to determine that. But if the animal is found to be treif, then we have to replace it. We have to bring another one. Simple as that.
No, you're asking like if the Kohen is mafagulate?
Yeah, in other words, or it gets a mum during the Kohen's time. In other words, I give an animal that has to be eaten, and now it's in the Kohen's possession. He does the shechter, and he messes it up. So the animal was a good animal, but it was a mistake of the Kohen or the guy that did the shechter, or it gets a mum but leans against a fence. I gave it was totally clean. And now, you know, while it's in the pasture, a year, it gets a mum.
Yeah, I get it. Somebody shechit this in one day in the Mikdash. You know, it's inevitable that at one point someone slips his hand and makes an avela. Right, if there's a mistake in the shechita.
Yeah, but you're obligated to eat that.
Yeah, but the guys working there have insurance. You know what I'm saying? They have insurance. You can't start.
They have immunity. Is there like a doctrine of immunity for them?
Yeah, but with all mesechtas, the mesechta is gittin. Mesechta's gittin has a mishnah about whether or not a Kohen has the power to mefagel an animal, and he doesn't. He doesn't. Otherwise, every time someone he doesn't like, he's gonna mefagel the animal. You might not even tell him, because I'll get him. He's not gonna have kapara from this because I'm gonna think of eating it 2 days later. It's nonsense.
If you take like a Korban Pesach that you're obligated to eat, and it gets messed up, and now you don't have another animal, so how do you deal with that?
Okay, so Robert, the answer to you don't have another animal is impossible. Yerushalayim is lined with animals just waiting. That the more than the amount of people asking for tzedakah at the Kotel are people selling animals, more than the people selling those pretzels right outside of Shara Ashbos and selling those water bottles and other things like that all summer. You have people get ready at a moment's notice to take care of that animal you need. Not more than 500 meters from where you need them. All right, so that's what's going on all the time. The Gemara talks about that all the time. They have the wine and the oil and the bread, that's all there. If you have to bring a korban todah and you've got to bring 40 challahs, there are ways you can sanctify them, and it's much better to just get it at the last second. Because if you buy it in a bakery someplace in Yerushalayim, you're just asking for trouble, because there's more time for it to become tummy. Or for some weasel to jump on it and then make it tummy.
If something happens, though, and it is too late, but you're not tummy, but something happened and it got messed up and you really are too late, do you get pushed to Pesach Sheni or not? That's only for Tumah.
Yeah, that's just Tumah. It sits as Meratzeh, even for Achilos, according to one day, but it's Meratzeh for Tumah. It's not Meratzeh for a Nevela.
Right. Okay.
Everyone clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So
Robbie's asking about the liability for the negligence, though.
Yeah, that's the insurance clause. Right. You know, like they say in the mission in Cholon, if someone who's not a mumcha comes forward, right? I mean, look, there's a rove that if you hear an announcement at Madison Square Garden, is there a doctor in the house? Someone just fell right by courtside. And someone comes running down with a stethoscope around his neck, it's pretty much a chazaka that guy's a doctor. And what happens if you find out that he's not, right? So there are certain, good Samaritan laws about protecting, but if you pretend to have a license to do a certain type of activity and you didn't have a license, so there might be some problem there. But the guy's doing the shechita, the Beis HaMikdash, for goodness sakes, especially Erev Pesach, they're working all day, they're working pretty hard. They get paid the same whether they're doing the work or not. So they're protected. No one can take them to court for if he keeps on messing up, then okay, then the Mishmar is going to decide, let's get someone else there to do that. Okay? All right, okay, now the Kohanim, Bizman Hazeh, of course you don't have any Mizbeach. The Bechor is a holy animal. So Bizman Hazeh, there's no Mizbeach, but if we don't have a Shutfus with a Gentile, we didn't sell it to a Gentile, and it didn't come to a Mum, you've got to give it to a Kohen. But the Kohen can't eat it because it has sanctity until it comes to a Mum. Okay? All right, so
this come up today?
Well, no, we, before you came, we just said that all Jewish ranchers know that you just have a partnership with a Gentile, or you sell it to a Gentile. It's sort of a nice Pesach segue now. And because there's a Lashon, the very first Amud, Maseches Bechoros, discusses this, which is why that Tosfos I mentioned earlier discusses whether that Shutfos can be had with Christians, whether they're over the Avodah Zarah or not.
There were shilas on this in Europe pre-world, before the war. I mean, so my great-grandfather was a dayan in this little town in Poland. And he said, a cousin of ours found some shilas that he asked some of the Gdolei Adar about Bechoros that were born.
Yeah, in the Hanami. Right?
Wow.
Gemara, if you recall, the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin said that the toughest smicha to pass you know, where there's all kinds of smichas, right? Steve, you have smicha, right, from YU? Do you? No, I thought you did. So the toughest smicha of the past, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, was the smicha for Heter B'choros. Okay, it was all other smichas. You get smichas for Tzvichos Nida, for Shchita, for Isur V'Heter, for Yadin Yadin, for Yara Yara. But the toughest smicha, the last one that they would give anyone, even Rav, found it very difficult for him to get a smicha for Heter B'choros. And if anyone recalls Parshas Emor, then even to understand what the words mean is not such a simple Parshat thing. And but once someone has the smicha to be matir b'choros, so if he messes up or he was matir something that shouldn't have been, it's up to your your shikul hadas. Okay, can someone determine if he has smicha and he's a rancher? Can he paskin for his own animals? Now, this is almost a moot point. I mean, it's simpler to just do a shutfus, right?
Okay. Can you be a dayan in your own case? You can't be a dayan in your own case.
So that's a discussion in Bechoros Daf Lamed Aleph in the Rambam and Perek Gimel, right? So what he says is that one person can paskin for his own Bechor, but only if insofar as he's sitting on a Beis Din of three. Het Bechoros needs three. So he could be one of the three because he can be sure that one of the other two is not going to just go along with him because it's his animal, right? If anything, when you're paskining on your own animal, you might be more machmir than on someone else's. You know, it depends on the scruples of the person, of course.
Right. But how is that different than rabbis paskining and they hold by what they paskin? You have Rav Heschel Schachter paskining on things, and I'm sure he's holding by what he's not paskining and then holding differently.
Yeah, right. The Gemaras talk about these things. Remember in Meseches Nida, Yalta went to Rav Chisda to ask Shilas. So Tosfos says, wait a second, Yalta's husband was Rav Nachman. Why didn't she go to Rav Nachman? He was a much bigger gadol than Rav Chisda. So all right, you know, that's this inyanim there, of course, and my sense is that someone is going to be more machmir on himself than someone else would be.
But it's not unique to Rav Schachter in your example. That I think is, you know, in other words, if he's a Jew like every other Jew, you're right. What he's saying might be relevant to himself, but it's not specifically his case.
How is that different than Rav Moshe Feinstein? All the paskins that paskin, I'm sure they held what they're paskining.
Yeah, they definitely ate their own cooking. There's no question they ate their own cooking. I'm simply
right, saying, so that's like being their own diet.
It's different than, you know, I have a monetary interest in this specific thing, and this is the specific question that's presented, and I'm going to be the judge in my own case.
Eid echad neman bisurin. I mean, I had just such a case today. Someone called me with a shaila about monies that were given to her over many years by her grandfather in an account. And she never gave meiser from the whole thing. And she's very machmir to give meiser. She's asking me meiser shailas all the time, two or three or four times a year. So I was very much no gabadover, and it turned out I was no gabadover in the end. And she asked, do I just have to give meiser for what he gave me the last year, or does it all roll over? And the answer is, it rolls over. Only grain meiser only has a three-year limit. Right? You familiar with that? Every 3 years, you have to do what's called vidui meiser on the Erev Pesach in the fourth year and the seventh year of a Shemitah cycle. That appears in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, right? You'll know what I'm talking about, right? So, but monetary meiser can roll over. I mean, you know, the government is not going to say you haven't paid taxes in 17 years, just pay last year's taxes, right?
Yeah, except for one thing, the grandfather may have already given meiser on that money.
Well, but it's her money. It wasn't money given to her as tzedakah.
No. What I'm saying is, let's assume the grandfather made $100,000. He gave his $10,000 to tzedakah already. That money was already covered by giving it to his daughter, whoever he gave it to, doesn't mean now that she has to give Maisa that money because Maisa was already taken from that money.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's new income for her, so she does have to give. In fact, that's how, I think that's how commerce works. But that same day, I can tell how much was in her how much her grandfather gave her because she made out a check to the Chesed Fund the same day.
Wow!
And it wasn't like a round number; it was a very precise number that I could tell 10 times that amount was put into. Right, so I was very much nogeva dover in giving the answer. I couldn't be sure that where she was going to give the miser, but in all fairness, she may have given a piece here, a piece there, and she might have divided into five. And that's, by the way, it was a very, very specific amount that she gave. It wasn't like a round number.
Can we find 100 more like her?
Yep, we're looking. Okay, so that's the heter, the whole raw of Bechorim. Okay, and so there is also when a Bechor becomes a mum or any psule mikdashim, anything that was hektish. Robbie, your case was that you found out it was pasul after the shechita. There's very little you could do then, especially if the psul made a tray for nevela. But what happens if it became pasul before it was shechted? What would be examples of that? It was set aside for kachim, and then it was used to plow a field, or it was a human being took it and slept with it, right? That animal has to be killed, or it gored a baby, it gored a child, it gored a person and killed the person.
Right, but in my case, it was already in the other person's hand, meaning like the Kohen. The Kohen had possession of it. While it was in his possession, a mum occurred. So the person that gave it to him really wasn't responsible in any way for that mum or if the Kohen shechted it wrong.
Well, the Kohen doesn't have it in his possession for more than a few moments.
No, you said for a year. You said that he has to eat it within a year of receiving it.
Oh, no. Once I give it to a Bechor is not that kind of an animal. The animal you're talking about is a Chatos or an Osham, where the Kohen has to eat a piece of this animal for me to get my expiation for whatever I committed to bring a Chatos or Osham. That's all just Chatos and Osham. Yeah, but Bechor, once I gave it to the Kohen, it's his business now. I've done my job.
Right, but if you give it for a Chatos, and you gave it to the Kohen, and as he's taking it up, or he's about to shut or gets a mum, it was in his possession.
I can't imagine that that's ever happened in the history of Korbanos. That's 2 minutes.
Yeah, so two big things happen.
Okay. Yeah. Right. A meteor falls from the sky and it falls on the animal and it breaks its leg. I don't know.
Listen, bricks fall off a building and hit people.
Okay, things happen. Enough.
But God isn't sure if I chug. It's a AAA rating. It's all good. It's,
like you said before, he has some insurance policies and some.
No, but seriously, what happens in those cases? If that would happen, what would be the thing?
The Kohen is protected from that kind of.
Yeah, but the person has to eat also, and he doesn't get. Isn't there korbanos where the person must?
Yeah, the person does. You're right.
Right, but he doesn't get
his kapara until the Kohen eats it.
Correct.
Kohen is protected. Okay, in that one time in all of the history of mankind, I'm sorry, that person has to bring another animal. Go back out to the Shara Ashbos, buy a pretzel, and buy a new goat, and bring it in. Okay. All right. Okay, Chevra, I want to remind you, I have to cut this very short today. Okay, I have to leave it at 8:40 today. If you guys want to go on to Why Yet Torah. I'm giving another shiur at 8:45 today for the YU publicity that they're doing for their various schools. I'm representing Yeshiva College tonight. Okay, what happens if a bechor is born to a treifa animal, right? So if a Bechor is born from a treifa, so whatever a treif gives birth to is also considered treif, no? So the Bechor from a treif does not bear any kedusha.
That's right. If you have an animal that's a treif on, that gives birth to a perfectly healthy animal, and you shecht it properly and everything, that's not kosher.
So the Rambam discusses whether the animal was treif before it became pregnant or after it became pregnant. So now we usually have a statement that treif eno nolad, eno yoledis. A treif animal can't give birth. And if it did give birth, it's a sign that it wasn't treif.
Uh-huh.
Right? So. Okay. So then, let's just close up where we started, which is the mitzvah l'kadesh bapeh. Okay. So the practice is, now we don't have any bechorim today. No one really gets caught with a bechor. And Jerry, I'd love to see the advice that they were giving there, if he refers to a case where there was an actual bechor born where there was no tikkun done, and they.
I have to go back. I'll try to find them.
I'd love to see that, because one of the eitzes that they've given in the last few hundred years for someone who didn't go about, there's a way to be matel mum inside the animal before it's born, to clip a piece of the ear, right? The eitzah is you just let it die. You close the door on it and you let it die. But that's tzar bali chayim, and who wants to do that today? Right, but we still have the mitzvah l'kadesh bapeh. But like I said, it's not done. It's not done today. Not too many Jewish ranchers out there, but if they are, and it's only the mitzvah is only done on four animals: a goat, sheep, cow, and donkey. Okay. Okay, so in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, just to close out, we would give a tam meaning an animal without a mum, to a Kohen, and he would have to bring it to Yerushalayim to offer it there and to eat it in a state of ritual purity. And the Baal Mum you give to a Kohen, and he eats it, as cholin. Okay? All right. Do we give bechor animals to a kohenes? And the answer is no. Right. But the Mishnah Lamelech Hilchos Bikurim paskins that a bechor bal mum you can give to a kohen's wife. All right. Fair enough. All right. And we do give Bechor to even a Kohen who is a Baal Mum. All right, because a Kohen who is a Baal Mum can get Truma, he does get Challah, he does get all the gifts. It's just that he can't eat a Chatas or an Asham because he can't bring a Chatas or an Asham. All right? Okay, so that is, that's that, and... Right, and a bechor cannot be given before it's 8 days old. But l'chatchila, as I said before, we should wait till it's 30 days old to give it to a kohen, and that makes sense to give it to him at that point. Of course, this is at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, or the time where there's no hamoed for him to bring it to. Okay.
Does it have to be like shechted in the Beis HaMikdash and everything, or not?
Yeah, it's kachim. Yeah.
I have the name.
It's one of the least holy of animals. That's why it's at the very end of Ezu Makom and Shel Zvachim, the Bechor and the Meiser, and that's the I mamash end where I began. That this is the philosophy behind this is that we should reserve our best for Hashem or his representative, and since the Kohen represents the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to give the Kohen these things and all the other gifts is actually a service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Medrash says, Lo nitna Torah ela la'ochle truma. that the Kohanim are the ease of all these gifts in order to be the best teachers they can be and the best leaders, the spiritual leaders that they can be. And that's why we give these gifts. All right, Chevra, I'm very sorry to have to...
I have the names.
Now. Say the names now, Robbie, please. Yes.
Walter, do you have Lloyd's name? Walter?
Who is Lloyd? What's he?
Epstein.
Oh, Lloyd Epstein. Yeah.
I thought I gave you the name. I didn't bring it with me to Florida. Walter, can you hear me? All right, I'll start saying it's Ben Elka.
You could just say Lloyd Epstein Ben Elka. That's
right, but something Dov Eliyahu Halevi Ben Elka.
Robbie, go. I have to be on at 8:45.
Okay. Yitzhak Yosef Ben Dina Yosef, Yitzhak Levin Yosef, Abraham, Abba Ben Shendel, Reuven Ben Malka, Rachel Baslulu, Aaron Ben Beselchena, Yaakov Ben Chaya, Moshe Kohen Ben Miriam Rus, Yisrael Ben Sora Esther, and in memory of Baruch Yaakov Ben Yosef.
It's Aryeh Lev Eliyahu Halevi Ben Elka.
Okay.
However, Howard Goodkin, who is often on this stream here with us, was taken to the emergency room. He had some surgery earlier in the week. He's okay. He was doing better, but then he had a little relapse. He had some surgery on his throat.
Right. Did he need anything?
Yeah, I tried to reach him just before this year, but he didn't pick up his cell phone. But he was still in the emergency room at 7:10 this evening.
So do you have his name?
His name is Chaim Moshe Ben Rivka. Rivka Devora, I believe that's his name. Okay. So we should have a Refuah Shleima.
Amen.
Everybody should have a Refuah in Yeshua's.